Offside. Bibi četrti. V Izraelu so prejšnji teden potekale že četrte volitve v dveh letih. Na njih je spet zmagal Benjamin Netanjahu, ki je sicer v primerjavi s prejšnjimi volitvami izgubil okrog petino glasov. Od 61 potrebnih za sestavo vlade jih je dobil 30, na prejšnjih volitvah pa jih je imel 7 več. Izraelski proporcionalni volilni sistem in fragmentiranost političnega prostora pomeni, da bo morala biti nova vlada kot ponavadi koalicijska. Izraelci so utrujeni od volitev in to se je pokazalo pri volilni udeležbi, ki je bila 67% za Izraelce nizka. Potek kampanje pojasni John Lindon, direktor zavezništva za mir na Bližnjem vzhodu.
It was the fourth successive election, trying to break political deadlock that emerged over 2.5 years ago, and that's the main context that the election needs to be viewed within. It sort of, you saw depressed turnout as a result, quite a lot of cynicism, I think, amongst many people, and a fear that there would be a reproduction of the same sort of inconclusive results that we saw in the last round this time last year.
Izrael je najuspešnejša država na svetu, kar se tiče cepljenja. Razlog, zakaj je prišel do takšne količine cepiva, je v tem, da je s podjetjem Pfizer podpisal pogodbo, s katero mu je omogočil dostop do medicinske zgodovine svojih državljanov. Netanjahu svetovno vodilnih odstotkov cepljenosti ni pozabil podariti v kampanji in je na začetku meseca užival povišeno podporo v raziskavah javnega mnenja, a je kljub temu izgubil glasove v primerjavi s prejšnjimi volitvami. Vprašanje ostaja, ali bi sploh lahko dosegel že tako nižji volilni rezultat, če se ne bi mogel sklicevati na uspeh s cepljenjem.
The vaccination process certainly fed into strengthening Likud and Benjamin Netanyahu's hand. I mean, as everyone is aware, Israel is the fastest vaccinating society on earth, and that did seem to strengthen Likud, particularly towards the end of the election campaign, as things opened up in Israel mid-March, and we began to see a bounce in the polls for Likud over the final 2 weeks that public polls were collected. However, it needs to be acknowledged that Likud lost almost 300,000 votes between this election and the previous one. So whilst there was a bounce in the polls, it didn't seem to resonate in the final election results. And I think as people look ahead, if there is going to be fifth elections, which maybe we'll get on to, Likud will not have that vaccination bouncing.
Za izraelske razmere nizki volilni udeležbi in cinizmu glede političnega procesa, ki ne prinese stabilne vlade, se je pridružil padec podpore vladajoči stranki Likud.
There seems to be a reduction in support coming from core Likud strongholds, so that we have analysis now from towns and cities where Likud historically has a very strong showing, that the turnout was reduced and the share of the vote that went to Likud was reduced. So I think while vaccinations played into the overall dynamic, the biggest structural issue is the fact that that was the fourth successive Israeli election, and I think the electorate is pretty exhausted by that process.
Netanjahu je nekdani največji rival Benny Gantz, ki se je na prejšnjih volitvah v valu anti-Netanjahovskega razpoloženja zavihtel na položaj drugega politika v državi, potem pa z njim stopil v vlado, je pred volitvami veljal za političnega mrliča. Vseeno mu je uspel presenetljivo dober rezultat. Izgubil je poslance, a preživel manever, ki je veljal za politični samomor.
What I assume is there's very little trust between both men, and that Gantz, you know, I'm hypothesizing here, but he may see this as being an opportunity to do what he failed to do, I suppose, in the last round of elections, and to try and ensure that a coalition headed by somebody else can make a government. Now, because of the votes that have been hemorrhaged by Blue and White, it cannot be Benny Gantz. he is not, I think, a viable candidate for Prime Minister now. Yair Lapid, who was part of Blue and White and broke when Blue and White decided to join the government last year, is the most viable candidate for Prime Minister, and Gantz's efforts need to be, I guess, channeled via Lapid's candidacy. And just on that point, the rumour is that the relationship between Gantz and Yair Lapid is pretty poor following the breakdown of their partnership around Blue and White last year. So that's going to have to be navigated over the coming weeks. Is their mutual antipathy for Benjamin Netanyahu, is that enough to get them to work together, as well as with the other parties that would need to make up a mosaic of an opposition coalition that would go from quite far on the right all the way to Yesh Atid, to Meretz, and even to the joint list, the mostly Arab party on the left. And that's going to be a difficult thing to pull off.
Proti Netanjahuju potekajo trije resni sodni procesi za prevaro, kršitev zaupanja in podkupovanje. Optika procesa, kjer se predsednik vlade redno udeležuje sodnih procesov, bo znala postati problem za preostanek Netanjahujeve politične kariere.
So the hearings have already begun. They had begun before the election campaign, and now in the coming days, Prime Minister Netanyahu is scheduled to be appearing in court as a defendant, and that may involve up to 3 court appearances each week. The cases themselves are quite complex. I mean, it's around issues to do with the media, to do with government procurement. The Attorney General was under quite a lot of pressure not to bring a case against the sitting Prime Minister. Was an Attorney General that was appointed by Benjamin Netanyahu and the right wing, comes from the right wing religious sort of political milieu. So I think his commitment to bring this to trial, most people judge as being an indication that the charges are very credible and very serious. And now looking ahead, if there is to be 5th elections, which I think is probably the most likely outcome from last week's vote, Prime Minister Netanyahu will have to do this now for the first time as also being a live defendant in an ongoing court case with quite a lot of legal responsibilities to appear in court and to be on top of his brief, but also the vulnerability of being seen potentially by the electorate to be a defendant sitting in a courtroom 3 times a week whilst trying to campaign to be re-elected. And that will be, I think, maybe the biggest electoral challenge that he has faced in this round of elections.
Interakcija nove ameriške administracije z Izraelom do neke mere ostaja uganka, a so osnovne poteze jasne. Sedanji predsednik Joe Biden bo nadaljeval z etablirano demokratsko podporo Izraelu, a manj robato kot njegov predhodnik.
Trump in many ways was an anomaly. I think Biden will be much more in keeping with a mainstream pro-Israeli democratic president. I think he will want to try and keep most disagreements with Israel private and behind the scenes, and to continue an awful lot of the fairly advanced security and diplomatic cooperation that Israel and the United States are firmly engaged in. So it'll be a reversion, I think, to what existed under potentially George W. Bush or Bill Clinton. I don't expect some of the high-profile fallouts that we saw during President Obama's term, because I don't think either President Biden or Prime Minister Netanyahu will see it in their interest. The only caveat to that will be the Iran file, where I think it's too soon to say, but if the United States pushes quite forcefully for rejoining the Iran deal, the JCPOA, it may be in Prime Minister Netanyahu's short-term political interest to create division and a conflict with the United States as part of an electoral strategy. He is seen by Israeli voters, not just on the right wing, everybody, as being the most capable diplomatic figure in Israel and sort of the greatest statesman. And I think the optics of him being able to push around the US president potentially may be calculated to play in his favor in a narrow election.
Izraelska politika se po več desetletni vladavini zionistične levice, ki je trajala večino druge polovice 20. stoletja, že več kot 20 let ustrajno premika v desno. Vzpon izraelske desnice se je zgodil predvsem na račun ekonomsko zapostavljenih delov izraelske družbe, tako imenovanih Mizrahimov. Judov iz Bližnjega vzhoda in Severne Afrike, ki so jih laboristične vlade zanemarile, in priseljevanja judov iz bivše Sovjetske zveze v 90-ih. Tradicionalna baza levice, ki se ustrajno krči, so bolje izobraženi, premožnejši pripadniki srednjega razreda, pretežno aškenazi, torej priseljenci iz Evrope. Poleg tega je Izrael vse bolj religiozen. Primer je stranka Šas, ki je v 90-ih podpirala levico, a danes na volilne plakate postavlja Netanjahuja. Tudi novi parlament je pretežno desni.
The Knesset that we've seen returned is heavily right-wing. I think it's around 73 seats in totality that go towards the religious and right-wing bloc out of 120. So that is quite right-wing. In a strange way, having the election be about whether or not Netanyahu should be prime minister enhanced the size of the right, because we had two parties, New Hope headed by Gideon Saar and Yamina headed by Naftali Bennett, who didn't commit to joining the Netanyahu coalition, and for Gideon Saar said absolutely they would not join. So that created a party on the left, for want of a better phrase, because they're campaigning against a sitting right-wing government, who attracted right-wing voters. But if we zoom out, Israel has been drifting pretty consistently toward the right for 20 years. The left is far weaker now than it has been at almost any point in its history. But in saying that, the two main parties of the Zionist left, Labour and Meretz, perform much better than many people expected. So perhaps this is a foundation, even if a modest one, for the left to rebuild on, because it hasn't really had something vital and new to say for quite a while. And I think there's a sense that if the left wants to try and work toward power again, it's going to have to revitalize its messaging and the way in which it appeals to Israeli voters.
Pomembna dinamika, ki vpliva na politični zemljevid, so manjšine. Manjšinski palestinski glas je v Izraelu v političnem diskurzu judov izrazita tabu tema, zato je vsaka potencijalna progresivna koalicija oslabljena.
21% of Israel's citizens are non-Jews, mostly Arabs. And you know, in most societies, parties of the left build a coalition that includes the sort of, you know, educated university graduate cohort that I mentioned, but then also includes minority populations. So if you look at the United States, 12-13% I think of Americans are African Americans, which is smaller than the portion of Israelis who are Arab. Yet you could never imagine a Democratic president building a coalition for government without that vote, right? It's a core part of a progressive electoral cohort in most countries. Now in Israel, structurally, Arab parties have been absent from every government since the foundation of the state, and there's a taboo about including Arab parties within government.
Potem, ko je aneksija delov Zahodnega brega v Trumpovi eri izgledala že neizbežna, se je politična realnost takšne poteze izkazala za preveč zapleteno. Razloži Muriel Ram, politolog in predavatelj na Univerzi v Newcastlu.
Bibi have used the annexation card, which is his intended plan to formally annex territories Israel occupied in June 1967. Netanyahu planned to use the annexation card in order to convince more voters from the right to support his party. However, it's quite reasonable to assume that the annexation formally will not be something that will take place soon. Most Israeli policymakers and most Israeli leaders, whether from the right or from the left, are very wary in declaring an official annexation of the entire Palestinian occupied territories. It will create a gamut of problems for Israel, which I think most Israeli leaders are not keen on starting to deal with. So I suspect that the status quo will remain for as long as Israel can make it intact.
Morda najpomembnejši rezultat teh volitev je izjemno ugoden položaj arabskih strank, ki so zaradi nejasnega izida volitev zdaj jeziček na tehtnici. Tudi desnica se mora zdaj pogajati z njimi.
There had been one joint list, a party that made up all of the small Arab parties that represent the Arab population of Israel. They had, you know, been polling at 15 seats in previous election rounds and were growing in strength. They broke down over the last year, having, you know, said they were going to support Benny Gantz and recommend him for prime minister, and then they were let down by Benny Gantz when he refused to build a coalition with them. And now that damaged their credibility within the electorate, because, you know, there was a feeling as if they had been deceived or had failed. And then also there has been an explosion of violence in Arab towns and communities over the last couple of years, with issues around gun violence and a real feeling of a lack of resources for those communities. So a lot of local sort of Arab political activists and community leaders have been asking for their leaders to enter government, to take power in order to fix these very serious problems, largely around resource allocation and the way in which the Arab population is treated. I mean, if they're always excluded from power in a democracy, then you won't get budgets flowing and you won't have that same sort of representation that exists for different cohorts of Jewish society in Israel. So that's led to a situation now where there is a groundswell of support amongst a plurality, maybe I think a majority, in fact, of Arab citizens to compete for power, to actually play the game. And Mansour Abbas has emerged as the leader of RAM, which is originally an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood, a conservative Islamist party. And he made clear that he was willing to enter any government where the issues of the Arab population were going to be dealt with, that he would deal with the left and the right. And it suddenly, now having passed the threshold, positioned him as the kingmaker. It's not possible for either the pro or anti-Netanyahu blocs to get to 61 seats, which is what they need, without his support.
To pomeni, da so Palestinci v okupiranih področjih Zahodnega brega in Gaze po Združenih arabskih emiratih, Bahrajnu, Sudanu in Maroku kot zaveznika izgubile celo konzervativne Palestince, ki so državljani Izraela. Glede na to, da izraelska politika drsi v desno že desetletje, so postavljeni pred nemogočo izbiro. Ali ohraniti nekakšno simbolično zavezanost suverenosti lastnega naroda in ostati v opoziciji, torej znotraj že tako deprivilegiranega položaja, še dodatno izostajati iz politične pozornosti, ali vstopiti v vlado, ki je z njihovega zornega kota okupacijska oblast. Vse bližje so drugi izbiri. Offside je pripravil vajenec Petar, mentorirala je Geja.